I don't know what's happened to my voice this morning, but it seems like it's like a lot of other things. It's a quit working. And you get to my age, a lot of things quit working. But we thank God, if it's not hurting, it's not working. And if it's hurting, it's not working right. I thank the Lord for my salvation.
Amen.
It was back in the fall of 1959 when I got in. And ever since that day, my life has been different. Now, I've failed so many times, but I've never done nothing he didn't know I wouldn't do before I did it. And he loved me anyway.
Amen.
He didn't love me because I was good.
Right.
He loved me because he chose to love me.
Right.
That's the only reason I could say I'm loved, is that he chose to do it. And I'm glad that he did. My life was ruined, wrecked. And I remember, as Brother Bruce was singing, my own testimony. And each of us could do that. But I thank the Lord that the journey has been sweet. I have no war stories. Now, there's been valleys and there's been mountains. But it's been God all the way.
Amen.
And I'm glad that on our worst day, it's a good day.
Amen.
The reason it's a good day, because it's a day the Lord has made.
Yes.
And we need to remember that. He makes every day. And God never makes anything that's not good.
Amen.
Now, the mess that gets in today, that's the enemy's business. And we have a nature that don't appreciate God's blessings. But we thank God on the divine side. And we need to remember that by these divine promises, we are made partakers of his divine nature. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to speak to you today. Let me get this out so I can tell what time to quit. It's a calendar, not a watch. Now, if I go over, brother, where I'm supposed to go, whatever that is, if I get repeat myself, grab my coattail and lead me down. Amen. But I want to speak to you about something that's in each of us has, a heart. Now, I've got a few thoughts that God gave me. But most of my messages is thoughts that I've read from others, and I borrowed a lot of thoughts. But I try to develop them or drink from them long enough that they become mine. But I make no claim to originality. I think, preachers, when we do make claim to originality, we're exercising a bit of pride. And God despises that. He resists the proud. I don't want God to resist me. And yet, I don't want to be exercising false humility. I want it to be real. And it's got to come from the heart. But the heart is a desperate, wicked thing. And all of us has got that problem. We don't face problems alone. You and I have faced the same problems because people are problems. I know that because I am a people. And I'm a problem. Somebody said, I want to join a perfect church. Don't do it. You'll ruin it. But our hearts are of real importance to us today. I think about the heart. It's the home of the personal life. And thereby a man is known according to his heart. Either it's wise and pure. Matthew says in 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Luke says about the righteousness and good man, in 8:15 he says, but that on the good ground are they, which in an earnest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it and bring forth fruit with patience. The heart. The heart is the seat of the conscience. It's naturally wicked. Romans says that which when we right in the middle of the verse, their conscience also bearing witness. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. The heart. We're always justifying ourselves, and we don't give that same credit to nobody else. It's easy to tell another man how to live. But it sure is hard to do the living yourself. The heart. Therefore, it contaminates the whole life and character. Matthew again says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So I say something, then it's, oh, I didn't mean that. That's a cop-out. If you hadn't meant it, you wouldn't have said it. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It will betray you in a minute. And it'll expose you in a split second. The heart is something we got to watch out for. The heart must be changed and regenerated. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Yeah. Once again, we're reminded that the heart is a desperate thing. The process of salvation begins in the heart. And the believer receives the testimony of God, while the rejection of that testimony hardens the heart. The Word of God, when it's preached, will definitely speak to people. And when a man hears the Word of God, there will be a response. It will be rejection or exception. But make no bones about it, there will be a reaction. The Word of God is a powerful thing. It's the only thing that can handle our heart. The Word of God will put you on your knees, but put you on your back. What we do with the Word of God is so vital to everyday existence. There cannot be a day that the Word does not direct our path. Our path is important. Hardness of the heart evidences itself by light views of sin and by lack of confession of sin. Pride and conceit, ingratitude, unconcern about the Word and ordinances of God, inattention to divine providence, stifling conviction of conscience, pushing down when conscience rises up, suppressing conviction. Brethren, our need of the hour is for divine conviction. Now, to feel good, everybody likes to feel good. We want to be lighthearted, but we must be true-hearted. When our hearts are hard, ground plowing gets awful hard. Stifling conviction, shunning reproof, presumptuous, and general ignorance of things. People says, "Oh, I didn't know that." And they feel justified because they don't know it. But there is no excuse for a hard heart. And yet our heart every day is faced with things that will make us hard. I've seen Christians get hard. I've seen preachers get hard. This business of stiffening our hearts is serious business. We, by the grace of God, need to pray. Give us a soft heart. The heart's mentioned in the Old Testament over 830 times. Jeremiah says 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Above all things. Above all things. We talk about against liquor or preaching against it, pornography. And we began to name a list of sins that absolutely would take an hour or more right now to mention. But the one thing that's more dangerous than them all is a hard heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked and it is deceitful above all things. Lamentation 3:1 says, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. 3:51 says Lamentation, mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. My eye affecteth my heart. We're given two great truths there this morning. One, that my heart can be hardened. And two, my heart can be affected. Now, it can be affected for hardness, or it can be affected for good.
Amen.
But the eye is the gate to those things. Now, that's my introduction. I want you to turn to Matthew 6, 9, verse 9 to 13. Dealing with the heart. I'll give it to you quickly. Whatever that means. When I prayed about this matter, and I was given this great opportunity this morning, and I told my wife, I said, of all the preachers there, I'm the least qualified. But I'll give you what I got. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And told him to get up and walk. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to give you quickly seven things about the heart from this passage. Verse 9, we find the honoring heart, our Father, which art in heaven. There's first of all, our Father. What a recognition. To be able to recognize that our Father is in heaven. We have a Heavenly Father. That determines everything from now on. Because who our daddy is depends how we act. When Adam was our daddy, and he was, Joseph Guy Bell was my dad's name, but you chase his lineage all the way back and you'll wind up in the Garden of Eden. And a man named Adam who chose to do wrong and allowed his heart to be hardened. And he was run out of Eden. Hallowed be thy name, holy. God's name must be spoken from our heart with great respect. There's little respect for God today in America, in the world, in the church. There's no name that ever passes your lips that needs more respect than his. What a name. What names. And I know that you have heard messages from A to Z, the names of our Lord. Each one demanding respect. Thy name is special, denotes character, reality. Thy name denotes who He is. Moses said, "Who am I to say sent me?" He said, "You tell them that I am that I am." The reality of His name. Because His name, so unlike our name, tells who He is. You can hear my name, but it don't tell who I am. But when you hear His name, you heard who He is. Verse 10 talks about a desire in heart. Kingdom come. It's a wish. It's a prayer. And if you don't wish for what you're praying for, stop praying. Because you're going to get exactly what you're wishing for. To pray for something you don't want is crazy. And yet, how often do we bow our unworthy, hardened hearts, say His name, and ask for things that we care absolutely nothing about. We're just going through routine. And God has had enough routine from us. He wants reality and respect. And we must give it to Him. Kingdom come, will be done. It's a visionary heart. Will be done. Possibility. If it was not possible, it would not be mentioned. His will is not impossible. If He wills it, He gives us the strength to do it. Again, we go back to our heart. Whether it's willingly or hard. God never has put any of us. I pastored for 34 years on the road for over 20 some years and still trying. God does not put us in a situation without giving us what we need. And many times we fuss and fight in our hearts and criticize the people that pay our salaries, that hold their jobs in places they detest. And yet they bring their tithes to the house of God and support us. And when preachers criticize their deacons and criticize their people, they are exposing themselves. They've got a hard heart. But let us not be too hard on them. For we are one of them. And we all fight the same battles. We don't need to tear one another down. We need to lift one another up. A handshake, a pat on the shoulder, a hug around the neck. A good to see you, sir. Slip a $5 bill or a $20 bill in someone's hand. Maybe they make a good salary, but they need to know someone still cares. I tell you, we got a lot to be thankful for. In earth as in heaven, agreeing heart, a desiring heart will be a heart of praise, prayer, visionary heart, and agreeing heart. Verse 11, give us this day. As we think about the first word, give, it's a hungry heart, give. We're talking about bread now. Talk about hunger. We need hunger in our heart. We're asking for a gift. This is a request. I've heard people come and pray, command, command, command. You don't have any power to command. Your best is request. What right do I have to command God anything? Should I go to hell this morning without a doubt? Am I guilty? No contest. Do I fail? Do I grieve the Spirit of God? Do I come short? Does my heart get hard? Yes. Yes. Does that make me a criminal? No. But it does recognize an old human nature, a sinner. And if there be any good in this wad of dirt, it's Jesus. And that's all. That's all. Serving Him these many years, trying to be the best I can be. Just dirt. But He made it. And He loves it. And He's going to change it. And it's going to live with Him forever. And Brother Churchill, no bad eyesight. Brother Evans. And those of you that put up with things you put up with in your body, it won't be like that then. A hungry heart, bread, requirement, must have it. No doubt about it. This body will die without bread. And my spiritual life will die without the Word. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not. The sinner doesn't even know how to live. And the Christian, no doubt about it, we need that bread every day. Daily bread. Need of the heart. Recognition of that need. Verse 12. Excuse me for bogging down. humble heart. Forgive us. It's personal. 2 o'clock this morning. It was personal. Been struggling with my prayer life. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. And I would have prayed, but I was hindered. But it got real personal this morning. I don't think I could have stood here without it. It's a humble heart. Forgive us as we forget our debtors. Daily duty and privilege. That's what we can do. We can forgive. It's a gift of God. But don't hold nothing against nobody. I don't care what they've done to you. Don't wish nobody bad. Especially your church people. Heard a preacher one time stand outside the church talking. He said, well, I got my support up. I don't need them no more. I jumped on that like a chicken on a June bug. There never comes a time we don't need that. We need those prayers. We need that love. We need them. I need you folks. Some of you I know and some of you I don't. But I need every one of you. My life won't be the same after the day because I'll have new brothers and sisters in my mind. It is, Brother Dewey. I'm glad I got somebody to love on me. And I got somebody to love on. I need to love you. Because love is of God. I ain't talking about this world's mess. I'm talking about the mess that you get in that I care for. And if I can help you out, I'll help you out. If it's a dollar in the pocket, no matter what it is, if I can help you, I'll help you. You got to do this and that and the other. Sometimes I'll give my wife and say, why'd you do that? She's got a right to know. I said, because I felt like I ought to. And when I feel like I ought to, I ought to. Don't let me spend a bunch of time trying to explain it. Just let me do what I think I need to do. Sometimes you think, good, you think you need to do something that don't make sense. But do it anyhow. You're somewhere at night about to lay your head down to go to sleep. It's going to take you an hour to get home if you leave, or an hour and a half, and you get an awful urge, you got to go home. And now you got to get out of bed where you are. You got to go home. And while going home, you see somebody on the side of the road. About 12 o'clock at night, you stop and pick them up. Then you lead them to the Lord. Then you find out they were on board a submarine called the Scorpion. And it went down on its mission, and he was scheduled to be on it. Now it makes sense, but then it didn't. Oh, that my heart can be sensitive, tender, that God can whisper, so-and-so needs prayer. That God can whisper, give him something. Send him a book. That God can whisper. I was in the hospital, my orderly. He came by and fellowshipped and left my room shouting. Now that weren't because of me. That's because of God. God says, send him a book. He weren't about persuasion, brethren. But he knew the Master. And God said, send him a book. Send him one of my best books. I didn't reach up there and get something bad, cheap. I gave him the best I had. Got a letter from him. He said, I've been using the book faithfully now. It's been a blessing. You know, I want God to be able to whisper. I've looked out in the audience like I'm looking today, and I've looked upon a face in times past, and God would speak to my heart and say, they'll not walk the aisle. Go to their home. And I went to their home and led the man to the Lord, the wife to the Lord, and the boy to the Lord. That's because God could whisper. It's been a long time since God has whispered. I want to hear him whispering. Brother Fry, you keep on writing up music and singing those songs. You let God whisper. That'll make a man with bad eyesight weep as he listens. The heart, the humble heart, forgive us as forget our debtors. We are debtors. I am a debtor. Don't let me forget it. 13. A pleading heart leads us to confession. Deliver us from evil. We must realize Satan is real. I'm hurrying now. Shows a willingness on the petitioner. It's needful. God resists the proud, and I want to be able to have where you listen to me. Oh, think about that. God listening to any of us. Last but not least, praising heart. 13. For thine is the kingdom like no other, and the power none can compare, and the glory alive with his presence forever without end. Amen. Worship. You say worship? Yeah. You can't worship God in disagreement. You must be in agreement with God in order to worship. And we need worship. But there is the last thought. Mark 6:52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. Do we sometimes, even in such as this hour, knowing that lunch is coming and the hunger is natural, that our bellies overcome our heart, that the desire in our stomach becomes greater than the desire in our heart? They considered not the miracle of the loaves. They just knew it tasted good. But they never considered the miracle. We got to get past that. Our churches, our services got to get past not considering the miracle.
Hey.
Our Father, thank you for allowing me to stand. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear people. God, encourage our heart. We know we need it. We know that without you we're nothing. But we know with you we can do whatever you ask. In Jesus' name, help us be faithful. Help me. Please, Lord, I want to hear you whisper again.
Precious. Amen. Brother Ernie Mills. Somebody say Brother Ernie came. Come on, you got time to come up a few minutes and share a little bit about the mission. You wouldn't do that, would you? I thought maybe I could persuade you. I love Brother Ernie and thank God for he and Miss Gail and what God has done through them. But I wanted you to put in a commercial here for the mission. Tell these men why they ought to be supporting the mission and invite them to all the above, but just don't go for an hour and a half now. Take a few minutes. Amen.
Well, it's good to have stepped back a little bit from the rescue mission and let Rob Tart do the hard lifting at the mission. So I'm kind of what you call semi-retired, but yet not retired. But God's been so good. I've been into a lot of churches, met a lot of Christians in my life. Just about everyone I've met has just about addicted loved one in their family somewhere. And it breaks my heart. My goal has always been to have one empty bed so that when that mother calls, crying and sobbing about her son or daughter, I don't have to say no. And I want you to know that we're there in Durham to be a help to you, to your church, to your loved ones there that have those addicted loved ones. And I'm glad to announce we're just building a brand new building. It's going to have 66 new beds for your loved ones in your church there. And feel free to call. That's what we're there for. We are your missionaries to those that are addicted. Give us a call. We want to help them. I guarantee you, they will hear the gospel when they're there. Because it's the gospel that begins to change in their lives. And God's been so good. He's been so good. Brother Bell, I noticed how frail you were going down. Frail, but yet how powerful. What a message. I like that. And it's like you said, it's not the dirt. It's the power of God in you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. He didn't say everything I wanted him to, but if you don't support the mission, you ought to go visit the mission. A lot of preachers have never been there. And go see the men's division, go over to the women and children's division, and check it out. Call, and they'll give you a tour. You can go eat a meal there and just see what the Lord's doing. And boy, every time I see it, I think about Ernie and Miss Gail coming down there. What God has done. It's all God. And they don't ever take any credit, but I mean, God used them. Still using them. And if you hadn't had them in your church, have them in your church. Thank God for the mission. Amen. All right, won't you stand? Let's everybody stretch a little bit, and you can shake hands. If some people don't, because that's fine, you can wave at people and just stretch, amen. And praise God, adjust your britches or whatever. Fix your belt, your suspenders, and amen. Take a deep breath, and hallelujah, because, you know, it's like they say, tighten your seatbelt up on the airliner. We got some bumpy air coming.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know about bumpy air, but we got us a hillbilly. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Total abuse.
All right, let's come in for a landing now. Amen.
Oh, Brother Charles.
Get you to be seated, and Brother Bruce. Get Brother Bruce up here and get us all in tune before Brother Dewey comes. Amen.
Well, what a privilege it is to be with you today, and every year, Lord willing, we'll keep doing it till the Lord comes back or till He takes us home, right?
Right.
The Lord is good. His mercies are endless. The Lord is good. His love has no end. The Lord is good. Come taste His forgiveness. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory, yet He will receive all who repent and call on His name. Come as you are.
Amen.
You won't be rejected. Come as you are. With all of your sin, fall at His feet. And taste of His mercy. Oh, come with me. Oh, come and see. The Lord is good. He is high and holy, and the Lord of glory, and He will receive all who repent and call on His name. The Lord is good. Before Brother Dewey comes to preach, I'd like to sing this song. Hopefully it'll prepare your hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. Toma Day is at hand. A little boy and his lamb make their way to the tabernacle door. As the lamb was led away, a tear streamed down his face as he watched from a distance. You could hear him say, my little lamb cannot stay. For my sin, the price you must pay. A sacrifice that is so great. land, you must go away. God looked down from heaven's throne. He saw us hopeless and alone. To redeem us, he would have to send his son. As Jesus left that holy place, a tear streamed down God's face. All of heaven grew silent. You could hear him say, my precious lamb,
hey,
cannot stay. Man to redeem, the price you must pay. My only son, I will give away. Precious lamb, you must go today. Hallelujah, praise the lamb.
Yes.
And almighty Lamb, I'm so glad you came.
Yes.
And all my sins, yes, you have washed away.
Yes.
You saved my soul. Now I can say, almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday. Almighty Lamb, I'll see you someday.
Oh, good. Amen. Praise the Lord.